This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين ثم ما بعد. سلام الله عليكم ورحمة وبركاته. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the first event of this series, which is entitled Beyond the Minbar Live. As was announced, we will be hosting guests where we get to know them a bit more. Of course, today, as you can see, we have our Sheikh, our Imam, Sheikh Qari, Zakawullah Salim, Hafidhahullah. I'm sure all of you know who he is, but I'm sure many of you don't know much about him. And so the point of this event, and we will do this, inshallah, on a regular basis with different guests, gives us the opportunity to get to know them a bit more, inshallah ta'ala. And so, without further ado, we'll make a start. Sheikh, ready?
Sure.
You sure?
Sure.
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. طيب, firstly, how are you, Sheikh?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa
rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. What about yourself?
Alhamdulillah, very good, very good.
Alhamdulillah.
Excited about this event, yeah?
Alhamdulillah.
طيب, first question. What was your childhood like? How was Qari Zakawullah as a child? Naughty, mashallah, on the plane. How was the childhood?
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding my childhood, I'm not sure if some of you, probably many of you, have already seen a podcast when Greenland started Beyond the Minbar podcast a few years ago, and they started with me. I was the first one who was interviewed, and all the details are already there, available on YouTube, but I can repeat that bit again. As my childhood, alhamdulillah, I was born in a religious practicing family. My father, rahimahullah, he was the imam and the khatib of the masjid, and he wanted me and the rest of my brothers to be connected to the Quran, to memorize the Quran, not only memorizing Quran, to be connected to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from very young age, we were given the tarbiyah by our parents to stay in touch with the Quran. So there is a particular story, I'm not going to repeat it today, that again is available on the YouTube. A particular incident when I was very young, only the age of 3. Obviously, I don't remember anything, but my father, rahimahullah, used to tell me that I called myself at that young age, Qari. Okay, and there was a particular incident that was the reason for calling myself Qari. And from that day onwards, it is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me tawfiq to memorize the Quran and to recite the Quran. Alhamdulillah.
Sheikh, I like how you kind of avoided the last question. How were you as a child? You think you were well behaved? Were you one of those who were difficult to handle?
I don't think I was naughty. Okay, I don't think anyone, even if someone is naughty, they obviously, mostly, I would say, they won't admit that they were naughty. But I wasn't naughty, and I wasn't a mischievous child in my childhood. In fact, I was very quiet, and always shy, and I used to keep to myself, okay, not going into too much trouble. Okay, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. But how was it like in Pakistan growing up as a child? And how do you think you is different from growing up here in the UK?
Yeah, obviously, growing up as a child in Pakistan is different. It was different over 40 years ago. We didn't have all these gadgets and all these distractions. So, alhamdulillah, the life was very simple, very simple. And growing up in Pakistan and growing up in a family that was practicing, alhamdulillah, religious family, and not a wealthy family either. So there were some struggles in childhood. One of them was that I became an orphan when I was only 12 years old. My father, rahmahullah, passed away. And that was a bit struggle for next few years. But alhamdulillah, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, went through that struggle. And Allah's mercy and Allah's help was always there. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I don't know if you guys noticed, he very slightly there gave a hint towards his age. He said over 40 years ago.
Over 40.
Yani, that's mubham, yani, like I say, it's open. Huh? He left it over 40. It could be anything, huh? 50, 60. I don't understand.
Yeah, you can guess, inshallah.
Barakallah feekum. Barakallah. Tayyib, as you alluded, you were born in or raised in this Quranic family and religious family. What was your journey like in terms of Quran, studying Islam, Islamic studies, and things like that? How was your journey?
My journey with the Quran began at a very young age. First of all, I started learning Quran when I started the school. In year one, year two, you can say, as we have a daily routine of the children here in the UK, that they spend the entire day in the school, and in the evening they attend the masjid or the maktab for learning the Quran. So we used to do the same, myself and my older brother, both of us, we used to go to school, and in the afternoon we used to come back, and our house was right next to the masjid, because as I said, my father, rahmahullah, he was an imam. So in the afternoon, there was a Quran teacher who used to come, and he used to teach the Quran. And I started memorizing the Quran at a very young age, alhamdulillah, bifadlillahi wa manni, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as young as 6 years or even earlier. This was in one particular area in Pakistan, towards the northern areas. Those who are familiar with the country, it was towards Rawalpindi, Wakand, Wa factory area. And then a few years later, when I was only six or six and a half, we moved to another area. And when we moved to that area, that wasn't that developed area, and the environment was completely different. So my father, he enrolled me into one of the local schools, government school. I attended the school for a few months. Then one of the days I came back home and I said to my father, I don't want to go to school anymore. He said, why? I said, you know, the teachers, they don't really teach anything. They sit together in a group and they keep wasting their time in having their own laugh and chat. And they don't teach anything. And I waste my time there, so I don't want to go there. And all I hear from the teacher is just shouting and screaming and swearing at children. So I don't want to go back to the school. And my father said, you know, what do you want to do then? If you don't go to school, then what would you do? I said, I want to continue with my hifz of the Quran. Because by then I was six and a half, and I had memorized, I remember I had memorized nearly 1.5 juz, juz amma, all of it, and half of juz tabarak. So I said, I want to continue with my hifz. And my father asked me, do you want to memorize the Quran full time? I said, yes, full time. He said, then you have to go to a boarding school, which is going to be away from home. So you're not going to stay home. I said, fine. So he enrolled me into a boarding school at that age, 6.5. So alhamdulillah, I was enrolled there. And because, again, this was by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I wanted to memorize the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for me. So I started memorizing the Quran, alhamdulillah. And within 1.5 years, alhamdulillah, I completed the hifz of the Quran. And when I completed the hifz, my father again asked me, what's your plan now? Do you want to go back to school now? I said, no, I don't want to go to school. He said, so what do you want to do? I said, I need to go into Islamic studies or learn more about Quran and probably to also polish my tajweed and my pronunciation of the Quran as well. The way the hifz works usually in Pakistan is that the children memorize the Quran, and then after they have completed the hifz of the Quran, then they are taught the rules of tajweed in depth. And this is, you know, for non-Arab students, this is more appropriate, I think. For the children at very young age, it is difficult for them to understand the rules of tajweed. And if you start teaching them, you know, qalqala and idgham and ikhfa and mad and this and that, it becomes very difficult for them. But if you, this doesn't mean that you ignore the rules of tajweed when memorizing the Quran. The teacher and the parent, anyone who is helping the child to memorize the Quran, they need to focus on the pronunciation, but without telling them the actual rules, just through the talqeen. This is the classical way anyway. So when I completed my hifz, I said, I want to study tajweed in depth. So my father, again, he enrolled me into another madrasa, into another boarding school, and where I studied tajweed for 2 years, for two entire years, where we memorized Tuhfat al-Atfal and al-Jazariya and other books of tajweed as well. And our teacher, who just a few months away, only a few months ago, he passed away, rahimahullah. He was blind. But he was very strict in his tajweed. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me to spend 2 years with him and to benefit from him. He was the hafidh of the Quran and hafidh of the Kutubu Sitta, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Nisa'i, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, all six books of ahadith he had memorized. So he was very, very strict. So alhamdulillah, he helped us in learning the tajweed for 2 years. And when I completed the tajweed course for 2 years, then my father asked me if I wanted to go to school again. Again, I said no, because I had no desire. I was so fed up or disheartened from the school environment. So I said, I don't want to go back to school at all. He said, what to do now? I said, I want to go and start learning the Islamic studies. And again, the Islamic studies courses in Pakistan, usually in those boarding schools, in the Ma'ahid or in the Madaris, is of 7 or 8 years long Alamiya program, you can say. So my father, rahmatullah, enrolled me into that Alamiya program for 7 years. So although I was young, alhamdulillah, it's funny, in one of the lessons, there was a new teacher who came in the class, and he saw me sitting in the class first day. He didn't say anything. Next day he came in, he didn't say anything. Third day he came in, he said, oh young boy, what are you doing in this class? And he thought that, I'm just chilling out, I'm wasting time. And the rest of the class, then they said, he's one of our mates in the class, because I was so young, alhamdulillah. So I continued and I completed the Alamiya program over the duration of 7 years, alhamdulillah. And then I started teaching within the same institute, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Now you've been an imam, you've been leading salah for quite a number of years, I believe. How many exactly?
Here at Green Lane, 22 years. And prior to that, for Taraweeh, altogether about 37 years, alhamdulillah, for Taraweeh. But being a regular imam, 22 years at Green Lane, and 3 years prior to that, when he was in Pakistan. So altogether, say 25 years, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, another indication towards his age. What have been the challenges leading Salah for so many years? What have been the challenges?
When it comes to the challenging or something that is challenging as becoming an imam or being an imam, for me personally, the most challenging thing is to keep the intention pure and sincere. That is the biggest challenge, especially when leading the loud prayer, reciting the Quran. And as Allah says in the Quran, Inna shaytana lil insani adu mubin, shaytan is your clear enemy. Shaytan does not miss any opportunity to attack your iman or to destroy your deeds. And as we have heard the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, the most difficult part in the religion is the ikhlas, keeping your intention pure. For me, personally, you know, the most challenging part has always been to keep the intention pure when leading the salah.
JazakAllah khair. I think this point of ikhlas and sincerity goes across with a lot of things, Sheikh. So it's a very important part that
it is. It is.
With regards to sincerity.
May Allah grant us ikhlas.
Ameen, ameen. Sheikh, a slightly different question with regards to the imama. I don't know if brothers here, many brothers here, they probably pray here a lot, Taraweeh and so on and so forth. And you've been doing it, like you said, for such a long time. And I'm sure many of the brothers here and the sisters, of course, have noticed that you very rarely make mistakes. What is the secret?
You mean mistake in recitation?
No, no.
I do make mistake. I'm a human being. I do make mistakes. And if I don't make mistake in recitation, then nothing is from me. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah's help and Allah's assistance. And without the help of Allah, you can't avoid making the mistakes in the recitation of the Quran.
JazakAllah khair. Another little curveball. For those of us here who have prayed behind you for more than 10, 15 years, those of us who have realized, I don't know if many of you have realized, but about 20 years ago, you used to wear thawb and a shimar when leading salah. And then all of a sudden you changed and start wearing salwar kameez and mashallah, color coordination on point, mashallah, tabarakallah. What happened there, Sheikh?
You know, thawb, I used to wear thawb many years ago. I gave up on thawb many years ago. And this was nothing to do with, the Pakistani dress or anything. It's, I feel more comfortable in shalwar kameez. It's more comfortable than the thawb. Okay, so, and also when it came to wearing the thawb, I wore the thawb only in the UK. When I was in Pakistan, I never wore the thawb. When I came over here in the UK, I saw everyone, you know, and most of the people wearing the thawb. I said, let's try. So I tried for a number of years, but it wasn't successful. So I gave up.
Amongst that. Maybe try it again, Sheikh. Yes. Zakallah. That's a good point. Good point, Barakallah Fik. Another bit of a weird question, I'd say. Often we hear or we see that some people, brothers, sisters, find it very difficult to approach certain a'imma because they might feel like this imam is not very approachable. He looks too serious. I don't know if he's going to be friendly and, you know, whether he's going to give, you know, shout at me, things like that, you know. They feel a bit intimidated by certain people who look a certain way, you know, especially as being imam. I don't know if this, you've ever faced something like this, and what is your take on this?
Okay, if you're asking about myself, then I would say I'm always approachable, and anyone can approach me anytime after any salah. Yes, sometimes I do leave from that door, but it doesn't mean that I'm not approachable, okay? That's only the easy way, basically, coming in and going out, okay? So you can always, people can always see me. I hold question-answer sessions during the week. I'm available in the office. And I think the imam has to be of the personality that is approachable. And if imam is not approachable or people feel hesitant to approach the imam, then there is something wrong. Imam needs to realize his responsibility and his duty towards the congregation, towards the community. Because when a person becomes an imam, he takes up the role of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam, he was the imam. And he always looked after his community and his congregation. Although there are various levels within being imam, but imam at every level needs to be approachable. And if there is an individual, any particular imam, who people think that he's not approachable, or someone who is very serious, then such imam needs to be advised. For myself, I'm sure most of you have seen me sometime other than the salah time, and especially when it is summer and hot, I go out without hat, and sometimes people say, you know, oh, Imam, I saw you first time without hat. And it happened, and a funny thing is, many years ago, someone saw me in Morrison doing the shopping and said, oh, Imam, sir, you're doing the shopping? I said, Subhanallah. Imam is a human being. Imam is not an angel. So, and then it reminded me the ayah in the Quran. Allah says about the people of Mecca. They used to object to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to say, "Mali har Rasul, Mali had al Rasul, yakulu ta'ama wa yamshi fil aswaq." What's wrong with this messenger? How? What type of messenger is this that we see him walking in the streets and he eats as well? He eats the food like we eat. So their mindset was the Rasul and the Prophet and Messenger should be someone else, not from amongst the human being. So I told that brother, you know, never say this to anyone, any imam or any person of knowledge or anyone, that, you know, why are you walking in the street or in the market or this and that? They are human beings, so they need to be, you know, like other people, and they need to be approachable.
Jazakallah khair.
Barakallah.
Sheikh, you mentioned the story of your father and how your father, rahimahullah, really cared about the upbringing in terms of the relationship with the Quran. And mashallah, for those of us who know you, you do the same, mashallah, tabarakallah, with your children as well as some of them, or many of them are hafaz, hafidhahumullah wa baraka fihim. What would be your advice, Sheikh, to us here who are parents, who want their children to also memorize the Quran?
For those parents who want their children to memorize the Quran, my first advice would be for them to ask themselves, they should ask themselves about the objective and the reason behind making their children memorize the Quran. Is this because you want your child to recite the Quran in a very nice voice, that's it, and to compete with others. You heard a famous reciter who had 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 million followers, and you wanted your child to become like this. If this is the case, then this is not pure intention. The very first thing for the parents is to purify their intention. The intention should be that your children memorize the Quran so that when you die and you are in your grave, you continue receiving the reward. So you make them memorize the Quran, obviously for their benefit, but for your benefit as well. And in order, secondly, a part of the purity of the intention is that you make your children to be part of that chain, that blessed chain that begins with who? The chain of the Quran. Where that chain start from? From Allah. Allah, Jibreel, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you want your child to become part of that chain of narrators, chain of narrations of the Quran. And if you purify your intent, if you have that intention, then the second advice would be to try your best to instill the love for the Quran in the hearts of your children. Rather than forcing them, shouting at them, punishing them for not memorizing the Quran, or because all these things can push the children away from the Quran rather than bringing them closer to the Quran. The third advice for the parents is that if you are sincere for your child, whether son or daughter, to become hafid of the Quran, then you need to bear in mind that you yourself will need to make equal efforts. You need to make equal efforts throughout the journey of memorization of the Quran. So you need to assist and you need to help your child. For example, when it comes to memorizing new hifz, a new lesson, as a father and mother, you need to make efforts and sit with your child and help them memorize the new lesson. Help them in revising those surahs and those ajza that they have already memorized. And if you enroll them into a hifz class, then you need to be committed and you should give the Quran priority over everything else. You need to be punctual, you need to be regular in your class, bringing your child into the Quran, in the Quran class, and staying in touch with the teacher and checking the progress of your child. What I have seen is that many parents, they have that desire. They're so passionate about their children to become hafid. But unfortunately, their children, they do not become hafid. And there are many reasons for that. And one of them is that the parents have only that passion. That's it. When it comes to the practical side, when you ask the parents, when you ask the father, have you made efforts in helping your child to memorize the Quran by sitting with him every morning for half an hour, 40 minutes, 1 hour, as a mother sitting with your daughter for 1 hour every day, in the morning or in the afternoon or evening? Most of the parents would say, no, I'm busy at my work, I don't have time, this and that. So it doesn't work like that. So in order for you to help your child to memorize the Quran, you need to sacrifice your time and you need to give the Quran priority over everything. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path easy for you.
JazakAllah khair, Shaykhna. Now, for those students, or for those brothers and sisters who have gone down this path of memorizing the Quran, so they are students of the Quran, what would your advice be to those?
Those who are memorizing the Quran or those who would like to memorize the Quran, my advice for them always one single advice, that Quran needs your dedication. That's all. And unfortunately, majority of the people, they fail in this. And that is why they keep struggling with memorizing the Quran, with their revision or whatever, for many, many years. Dedication. Dedication needs to be so strong that, for example, if you decide to give half an hour to the Quran every single day, then you should not be missing it even on the day of Eid. Even on the day of Eid. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that dedication from you, Allah will assist you. How much you memorize on a daily basis, how to memorize, and various techniques of memorizing, and various utilizing various methods of memorizing the Quran, or doing your revision and retaining whatever you have memorized, is everything comes after dedication. So I always advise that you need to have a dedication. Decide the best time for the Quran for you. You know your daily routine better than anyone else. Whether in the morning, afternoon, evening, on a daily basis, spend half an hour. If you decide to spend half an hour, stick to that. Never ever compromise on that time. The best time obviously is the morning time, after Fajr, and nowadays even before Fajr, the time of Tahajjud, Suhoor, Sahar time. They're so blessed. And if you were to make efforts to wake up and spend only half an hour, whatever you can do within that half an hour, that is sufficient. You don't need to worry about how much you have memorized. You don't need to be, you know, sad that you couldn't memorize, you know, 5, 6, 7 lines today. Even if you memorize only one single line, you spent your half an hour. Because if you spend half an hour and you dedicate that half an hour to the Quran, you will be going over one single line, revising and reading it, repeating it again and again and again and again for 30 minutes. Even if it takes you 30 minutes, you will be rewarded anyway. For every single letter, are we not rewarded 10 times? There is no wastage of time. When it comes to reading the Quran, that is the biggest advantage of keeping yourself attached to the Quran, that whenever you recite and whatever amount you recite, there is no wastage of time. You can never regret that I wasted time, you know, repeating this ayah 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. No, you can't say that you wasted your time, because you are rewarded. And always bear in mind the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Al-mahiru bil-Qur'an ma'as-safarati al-kiram al-barara. The one who is well-versed with the Qur'an, one who is expert in the recitation of the Quran in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's like the noble angels. وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرَانٌ. As for the person who tries to read the Quran but he stutters and he finds it difficult, he can't pronounce the letters or the words properly, and he keeps repeating those words and letters again and again, وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ, and it becomes very difficult for him to read the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَهُ أَجْرَانٌ, such person gets double reward. He gets double reward. أَجْرُ الْقِرَاءَ وَأَجْرُ الْمَشَقَّةِ. The reward of reading and the reward of the hassle and the struggle and the difficulty that he has faced. So, dedication, this is mean, never ever compromise on that time that you have dedicated for the Quran, and never ever give up. Never give up. Don't say that I've tried memorizing the Quran for past 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I couldn't memorize, so I gave up. No, never gave up. Even if you memorize only one single line a day, only one single line, And if you were to memorize one line every day, so over the duration of 1 year, you will end up memorizing how many lines? 365 lines. Okay? And you can go back and count how many ajzai this become. And just imagine if you were to have that dedication and continue, everyone can become easily hafiz, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. Now for those who have then completed their hifz, they have memorized the Quran, the day they've read the last ayah to yourself as a teacher, what would you advise such student?
Those who have memorized the Quran already, they need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted them something very special. And by memorizing the Quran, they have been included into Ahlul Quran, the people of Quran. And the people of Quran are, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahlullahi wa khassatu. They are the Ahl of Allah, they are the family of Allah, and they are the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who has memorized the Quran needs to appreciate that blessing, that many people are deprived from that blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Salaf used to say, the person who has memorized the Quran, the reciter of the Quran, the hafiz of the Quran, or the hamilul Quran, if such person believes himself lower or lesser than others, then فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ. Such person does not have good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no matter how wealthy other people are, how much power other people have, the person of the Quran is the best individual, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمُ الْقُرْآنِ. The best amongst you is the one who has learned the Quran. The one who has learned the Quran. So those who have memorized the Quran, first of all, they need to realize, they need to appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has blessed them with the hifz of the Quran, which is something that's so great and so special. Secondly, they need to keep their duty towards the Quran. And their duty towards the Quran, first and foremost, is to keep revising it on a daily basis. Amongst the Huffaz, those who have memorized the Quran are those who are known as Ramadaniyun. Okay, those Huffaz, those who start panicking in the month of Sha'ban, when they know now Ramadan is very close, and now they will be asked to lead Salatul Taraweeh. And some even, they have the anxiety throughout the month of Ramadan. And I have seen some Huffaz who spend hours and hours during the month of Ramadan going through that juz that they need to recite in Taraweeh that particular night. Why? Because they abandoned the Quran for the entire year. And this is something that does not befit the hafiz of the Quran. Someone who has memorized the Quran, he needs to continue with revising the Quran on a daily basis, without a miss. I was listening to one of the famous reciters of our time, and he was talking about his daily routine of the ajza that he recites. And he said, sometime what happens that he becomes so busy traveling or giving lectures or teaching, and sometime he doesn't get enough time to go over the number of ajza that he should be revising on a daily basis. Then he says, by the end of the week, I calculate if I have revised all those ajza for the entire week. If I have not revised those ajza, Then at the end of the week, I make sure that I revise them before the next week begins. And this is how the dedication of towards the Quran and that type of connection with the Quran needs to be there for the Huffaz, for those who have memorized the Quran. First of all, appreciating the blessing of Allah. Secondly, keep revising it. And thirdly, third responsibility is to now start understanding the Quran. Reciting the Quran without knowing the meaning is not that useful. I'm not saying that you don't get the reward. You do get the reward. But when it comes to reciting the Quran, you should and you must know the meaning. You must know the meaning. Without knowing the meaning, you can't really find that sweetness of the Quran. And the Quran, the impact of the Quran cannot be there. Quran cannot impact on you unless and until you understand the meaning whenever you recite. And number four is, when you start understanding, you need to act upon it. The Hafiz of the Quran should be the role model for the rest of his family, for his relatives, for his community. The Hafiz of the Quran, because as I said, he is someone who is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him to become amongst Ahlullah, the people of Allah. So he, the way he talks, the way he interacts with people, and the way he behaves, the way he conducts, everything. He is amongst the Ahlullah. So he needs to be seen as walking Quran, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, fifth advice for the Huffaz of the Quran is that once you have learned the Quran, now you should teach others as well. Don't keep it to yourself. If you want to become amongst the best people, according to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, then you have to teach as well. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not say, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ أَوْ عَلَّمَ. The best amongst you is the one who learns the Quran or the one who teaches the Quran. Rather, he said, the best amongst you is the one who learns and teaches. Both. And those Huffaz, those who have memorized the Quran but they don't teach, they deprive themselves from the khair of the dunya and the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to appreciate that blessing of Allah dhul jalali ikram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to act upon whatever we hear and whatever we say.
Barakallahu feekum, Shaykh. We have a personal question now. How has the Quran, or what kind of an impact has the Quran had on you?
It's difficult to answer how the Quran has impacted me. Whatever I am, it is due to the Quran. If I do something good, it is by the tawfiq of Allah and through the Quran. By keeping myself connected to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by reciting the Quran on a daily basis by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe the Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has great impact. But sometimes our hearts, they don't accept that impact of the Quran. And this is due to the corruption of our hearts. The way Quran should have impacted me, I feel that it hasn't. It's not because of the Quran, it is because of me. Because I'm a sinning person, I commit mistakes, I commit sins. But the Quran, the Kalam of Allah, there is no doubt in the power and in the impact of the Quran and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I make dua to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable me to benefit from the Quran the way I need to benefit. And I ask Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the Quran impact on me the way it should be impacting.
Barakallahu feekum, Shaykh.
Barakallah.
Again, another personal question. What would your advice be to a younger Qari Zakawallah, a 15-year-old Zakawallah Salim? What would your advice?
I would say, I always say to myself, if only I would have learned more about the Quran. And there was time in my childhood when I had time, I didn't have family, I didn't have these many responsibilities of children and family and this and that. I had time, but I probably didn't make the most of my time. I didn't utilize it in the best way. So I would say for those young youth brothers and sisters, if Allah has given you the opportunity now to memorize and to learn the Quran, try to dive down and go into the depth of the Quran in terms of not only the recitation, not only learning the various modes of reciting the Quran, the riwayat and the different qira'at, as well as the tafsir also. The Quran is an ocean, is an ocean. If Allah gives you the age of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that won't be even enough to go through the tafsir of the Quran and to learn about the Quran. The gems and the benefits and the lessons that Allah has put in the Quran for us, so many. And I always say to myself in my young age, if only I had learned the riwayat and the qira'at, they could have helped me understanding the Quran better.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Before we complete, inshallah, before we end, a few rapid questions. Any rapid answer, quick answer questions, inshallah ta'ala.
Yes or no?
Bit more than yes or no.
Okay.
Favorite hobby?
Favorite hobby? Favorite hobby is listening to the reciters, the good reciters. I would say the a'imma in the Quran, such as Sheikh Muhammad Sadiq al-Manshawi, rahimahullah. And I really love his recitation.
Worst pet peeve?
See?
Worst pet peeve, things that annoys you the most.
What annoys me the most? Again, if I say about the Quran, then what annoys me the most when I see someone making the fun of the Quran. And I'm not referring to the enemies of the Quran. And I'm not referring to the general masses amongst the Muslims. Rather, I'm referring to those reciters of the Quran who make the fun of the Quran. Do you know what do I mean by this? The reciters who make the fun of the Quran? Someone who recites the Quran, like you must have seen the Ferrari Imam, yeah? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahmanikim. Na'udhu Billahi Min Dhanik. Na'udhu Billah. Such a person, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best if such person is going to be saved from the punishment of Allah. He made the fun of the Quran. And unfortunately, this is the case in many masajid during the month of Ramadan. Even some of the masajid, they particularly choose an imam for the Taraweeh, someone who can quickly recite the Quran. Quickly recite the Quran. Okay, the one who can recite the faster, they appoint him as an imam. Or another way of making fun of the Quran is when I see people trying to recite the Quran like music. And there are people out there, unfortunately, who teach how to recite the Quran like music. Okay, they teach like this, unfortunately. This is making fun of the Quran. Okay, this is something that annoys me the most.
Jazakallah khair. Pakistan or UK?
Pakistan or UK? Okay, Pakistan.
Chicken salad or meat salad?
Chicken or meat? Lamb. Spring lamb.
MashaAllah. Biryani or pilau?
Pilau.
Favorite food?
Lamb with vegetable.
MashaAllah. Samosa or pakora?
None.
Ajib. MashaAllah.
Kebab.
Coffee or tea?
None.
Ajib.
Water.
MashaAllah. Gulab jamun or rasmalai?
No, I'm not a fan of sweets.
Ajib. SubhanAllah. Halwa?
Huh?
Halwa?
Sometime. Now I'm not a big fan of halwa either.
Android or iPhone?
Android.
That's all, brothers.
Downgrade.
Favorite app?
And nowadays, favorite app is the app is called Al Mushaf, Mushaf al Taysir, basically the app that has all the different qira'at. Yes, that's the most favorite nowadays. Mushaf, yes. Mushaf al Taysir.
Mushaf al Taysir. Good to know. Cricket or football?
None. Badminton.
Ajib. MashaAllah. You're learning more and more about the Sheikh now. Gharib. Allahu Akbar. Favorite ayah?
Favorite ayah? It's hard to say favorite ayah. There's many. You have to pick after Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Ikhlas. Both. After these two would be the second ayah of Surah Al-Anfal. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. May Allah make us amongst them.
Care to translate, Sheikh?
In the second ayah of Surah Al-Anfal, in which Allah says, the true believers are those that إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجَدْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When Allah is mentioned before them, their hearts start trembling. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ. And when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited unto them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Those verses increase their iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And only on their Lord they put their trust.
Favorite Sahabi and why?
Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala. Why? Because he is the afdalul khala'iqi ba'd al-anbiya. As it is a part of Ahlul Sunnah, the iman of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, wa aqidah Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The best human being after the prophets and messengers is Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, because he was the most beloved man to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as well.
JazakAllah khair. Yeah. Which scholar, after the Sahaba now, which scholar inspired you the most and why?
Well, from the past or? There are many. It's a very difficult choose one. I would say Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. Why? There are a number of reasons. One of them is that he was an orphan. And his dedication to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And also due to his efforts that he made towards seeking the knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And because of that, the acceptance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him in the entire dunya.
Okay. Shuraim or Sudais? Shuraim or Sudais?
If I say none, then what?
A big problem, Shaykh. Because we remember back in the days you used to recite similarly to Shuraim.
Yes, I used to. But not anymore.
Okay, we'll skip that one, inshallah. Yeah?
Yeah. So you say in the past it was Shuraim, Hafidhahullah.
MashaAllah. Favorite book after the Quran?
Favorite book of the Quran is Bukhari. Yeah. Sahih Bukhari. Whenever I want to go through the books of Ahadith, and the book of any book of Ahadith, the Sahih Bukhari is the best book.
Mecca or Medina?
Mecca.
Why?
Mecca is the most sacred place. It's the best place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due to the reward as well. While you're in Mecca, you offer one single salah is better than 100,000. Medina, no doubt, Medina is the city of the Prophet ﷺ, is sacred and beloved to us. But Medina comes second. Because the reward in Medina is, offering the salah in Medina is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, one single salah in Masjid al-Nabawi is better than 1,000. In Mecca is 100,000. If you say the environment, then everyone says Medina. The calmness and the environment in Medina is different, no doubt. But when it comes to reward, then definitely Mecca.
Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to go and visit Mecca and Medina.
Ameen, ameen.
Barakallahu feekum, Shaykhana. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for having us. giving us the ability to get to know you more. And Jazakumullah khair, brothers and sisters, for attending. And as we said, this is something, inshallah ta'ala, that we will do on a regular basis. So please do come and benefit. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.